You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. We're proud of their work and glad that they can partner with us. You can find out more about them on our website, kfuo.org. The CUW logo you'll find in the sponsors section. Check it out, Concordia University, Wisconsin. Every once in a while, we have an opportunity to check in with some of our missionaries who serve abroad, serving the Lord in different places around the world. It's my pleasure today to sit down and visit with the Reverend Leif Haskarl, serving the Lord in the Cayman Islands. Leif, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you with us. Thanks for spending some time reconnecting with us here back in the States and sharing about your work and how the Lord is using you to bring his good news to those in the Cayman Islands. Now, when I have to say, when that opportunity to serve in the Cayman Islands came up, I'm sure it was a real difficult decision, huh, to have to go to the islands.
Well, it actually is. I mean, anytime you receive a divine call, it's something you have to very prayerfully and seriously meditate upon what God's will is for you and your ministry. And it was a very, you have to look at the fact that you're either going to be one place or the other, and someone's going to be disappointed and someone else is going to be excited. But most of all, are you where God wants you to be?
Well, if it's on an island in a tropical destination, that sounds really, we all really feel for you.
Well, it certainly is a beautiful place. Wonderful people are there. But no matter where you are, it's God's people that you're serving, and that more than the location matters.
Most certainly. Most certainly. Well, tell me a little bit about the Haskarl family and your preparations to go and serve the Lord in the Cayman Islands.
Okay. Well, I'm a native Texan and grew up mostly in Oklahoma, graduated from college there, and served time as an Army officer for about 11 years, and then left the Army and went to the Fort Wayne Seminary, graduated there in 97, and was called to the Texas Panhandle to serve Zion in Pampa. And I was there for 6 years and then was called to Central Texas to serve a large dual parish at St. James in Lexington and Holy Trinity of Fedor. And I served there until 2014 when I was called by the OIM to be a missionary. I had considered when I was at the seminary the possibility of doing missionary work, but just didn't feel that my personal circumstances and everything was a fit at that point. But with 14 years down the road, things have changed. Mm-hmm. And as the Lord will, he saw fit to prepare me and call me in to serve his work in the Cayman Islands.
Tell me about your family. When did you meet your wife?
Yeah, my wife, Nancy. We met in the military. She was an Army officer also. And so she was with me as we transitioned from the military into the ministry. As a matter of fact, she was the first one to actively suggest that I should consider going to the seminary, because she knew that I had thought about that back when I was a young man. And she's been my backbone and support throughout our whole marriage. We just celebrated 29 years of being married and looking forward to a nice 30th anniversary celebration to come.
Well, congratulations. Now, when did you all, what did Nancy think when you started talking about this opportunity to serve as a missionary, an international missionary?
Well, it actually started with someone in South Korea had nominated me to serve as a missionary there. And when that first, that was a very big surprise to me. Certainly wasn't anything I was expecting. I was content where I was in Texas and all. And that kind of spun both of our heads. That was a real turning moment, if you will. And then as things developed, my name was also submitted to the congregation in Grand Cayman, and I was notified of that. And then I was really kind of turned upside down. But in all things, it's whatever the Lord's will was. And so, but it was quite a surprise to us. It certainly wasn't. Everybody asked, how did you end up there? And I honestly say, it was God. It wasn't something you go out and pursue or anything like that.
It wasn't that you went on a cruise and then you forgot to get back on the ship, right?
No, never.
I'll just do some ministry here.
I wasn't even sure. I knew the Cayman Islands were in the Caribbean, but I couldn't have even told you which end of the Caribbean they were. So, yeah. And I didn't even know we had a congregation in the Cayman Islands.
Precisely. So. I remember when I first started learning about your work there, when you were first sent, and learning about the work there. Tell me a little bit about the history of the Lord's work in the Cayman Islands and the presence of the Lutheran Church there.
Yeah. Well, obviously, we know there's been Lutherans in the Cayman Islands for from a variety of sources for a long time. There's been some Lutherans come in from Cuba. There's been other people who've come in like snowbirds or have immigrated from Canada and so forth. But there never was an organization. There never was a congregation until about 2001. And a group of them got together and said it would be nice if we could have worship services as Lutherans. And that was the start of the congregation there.
Tell me a little bit about who makes up the population and the community there where this congregation is now.
Now, there's four major groups of people, and you could break this down a lot of different ways, but there's the Caymanians. There's a large number of visaed expatriate workers who are on the island. There's the seasonal residents who might be there anywhere from a couple of weeks to 6 months. And then there's the tourists that are there from a day to a couple mm-hmm. of weeks. Those are the four, as I identify it, the four groups. And you can break that out in several different ways.
So with this diversity among the people there, how do you serve this diverse group of people? How do you bring the word of God into their community and connect with them, engage them?
That is the challenge. I mean, we have people there from at least 135 different nationalities, and a lot of those are the visaed workers, many of them connected to the financial services and banking industry that's there. And how to connect with them, you know, it almost always comes down to a one-on-one contact. Somebody knows somebody who invites somebody. And in that way, it's really not that different than evangelism work you do anywhere else. But it's equipping your people to talk to people that they know, that they work with, associate with, and invite them to church. Tell them about what's going on, what Lutherans are. And the more comfortable your members are with doing that, the better the response is to that.
You mentioned the banking industry there. What is unique about that? Why is there such a financial hub there in the Cayman Islands?
There's a longstanding law that in the Cayman Islands there is no income tax, and so if you, as I understand it, and I'm not an expert in this, but if money is being held there for you or invested through there, there's no income tax paid on that money. And so that has created a favorable banking environment. And we're the third largest banking center in the world. And it's considerable, the amount of money that goes in and out of that island. But it's important to note that money doesn't belong to the Caymanians. Many people think, well, if all that money's there, all the Caymanians must be rich. I will guarantee you that is not the case.
Because there's no tax, I assume there's no tax then locally
right.
on that as well then.
Yeah.
What have you learned about the Caymanians then, since you've been there? What have you learned about the local people who are not they're on visas?
Well, they're wonderful people. They're very pleasant. They're very soft-spoken and polite. They're a joy to be around. They're very sincere in their Christian faith, and there's a lot of Christianity on the island, they show a tremendous amount of respect toward Christianity in all things, even more so than you would expect here in the United States. And so they're very open about talking about it. So, for instance, they'll see me and they'll say, "So what church are you?" And I will tell them, "Oh, I'm with Safe Harbor Lutheran Church." And they go, "So what's a Lutheran?" Because they don't know.
Sure. But you spend a lot of time, I'm sure, explaining what a Lutheran is.
But it's a great point of engagement to talk to them and, you know, proclaim the gospel and invite them to come and see and hear and learn more. And they're open to hearing all that. They're not going to cut you off. They really want to explore that. And they will ask much deeper spiritual questions than you would normally expect to be asked. So you have to be prepared to answer.
So it sounds like this is a real favorable environment for this mission.
I believe it is a very favorable. I mean, I think the only thing that limits us are the hours in the day and the amount of contact we can make. And we're doing some initiatives to increase the amount of contact, especially we're shifting our focus to more and more on the Caymanians. And we're finding some avenues to do that we think are going to bear some real fruit for us.
What impact, if any, does the tourism industry have on your work as a missionary there and the community where you serve?
Well, the tourism industry is the second largest industry on the island next to the banking. And we do a lot of contact work with the hotels and the resorts to inform them of where we are, where we're meeting and when and so forth. And we get a large number of people who are what we call drop-in Sunday worshipers who come in, and some find out about us from our website, some find out through the concierge. But and then people will call us up, and if they know me, I've had people call me up and say, "Hey, I'm coming in for a day on a cruise ship. What do you suggest?" And I'll try to meet them down at the cruise ship terminal and either point them in the right direction of things to do, or if I've got the time, I'll actually take them to some of those places.
That was my next question. How many folks contact you? How frequently do you get an email or a message saying, we're on a cruise, we'll be there in a couple of weeks or something like that. We're heading there this summer, this spring. And
I would say probably one a month.
Really?
Yeah. You know, it might be one person or I think I've jammed seven in my car before. So, but you know, we're always happy to show them the island, and they see more of the real island instead of just the tourist destinations. And
so. Precisely. Now, how have you adjusted to life in this new culture? You mentioned driving on the island. If I remember correctly, this is a whole other side of the road, right?
Literally, it is. When I first arrived there, as a matter of fact, I was telling people this Sunday when I was preaching it in the sermon, I was like, I walked to the car that they were loaning me to use, and I opened the driver's door, and somebody had stolen the steering wheel. No, they hadn't. It was on the other side of the car. And then I learned that I had to drive on the other side of the road. That takes some adaptation. It changes everything. And the Caymanian people are good about it because there's so many visitors there. They kind of look out for that, but then the problem comes after you get used to that. And then, like now, I come back to the States. I have to remember that I've got to drive on, again, the other side of the road. So
it's common among several missionaries who come back to the States, I hear. Now, how has your family adjusted to life in the islands? How has your wife and your son now in college, right?
Yeah, when we got the call to go down there, it was the very end of his junior year. And we gave Chris the opportunity and left it up to him that he could stay in Texas with some of our friends and family and finish his senior year of high school there, or he could accompany us. But if he accompanied us, he had to finish his whole senior year before we deployed, because it wasn't possible to get him into the private school section down there. He chose to go with us, to the surprise of a lot of people. And so he spent his junior, senior summer doing all his senior classwork online, and got that done, and came down there, spent that that first year with us, and then came back and walked with his graduating class, and that was a big moment for him.
Wow.
And so then he went on and he's enrolled at Concordia, Texas. He's doing education and history right now. Kind of waiting to see how that plays out, which way he's going to go with that. But he's in his second year there now.
So you're empty nesters.
We're empty nesters now.
Missionaries in the Cayman Islands. And how has Nancy adjusted to life on the island?
She really likes the pace of life there. And as the Lord will, about the time Chris was preparing to depart the nest, he opened up a job opportunity for her at one of the private schools. So she's working in the administration side of the school there. And it's ideally suited for her skills and such. And so I think that's been a big help, not only as far as helping us defray Chris's college expense, but also we don't have the time to think about
being empty nesters
yep. all of a sudden. So, and we've been blessed. I mean, Chris has come back, spent the summer with us, and then my daughter was down with her husband last Christmas. So it's been good, you know, and we're enjoying that.
Well, thanks be to God that that life is going well. One of my favorite questions of missionaries, the cuisine. What's the local cuisine like?
Wow, now that's a tough one. Because it is such a crossroads, mm-hmm. you can find just about everything except true Texas barbecue. And that's because we don't have any hardwood to do barbecue with. You can grill, but to do true barbecue. But yeah, so you get a flavor of the world there. Everything you can get. Italian, Thai, Jamaican jerk is real popular. A lot of seafood dishes, needless to say.
Is there anything that's specific to Caymanians?
There are a couple the historic dishes are not seen so much anymore. They like turtle, but turtle's fairly rare because it's a very controlled item. But to me, it's more the fruits and vegetables, the mangoes and the June plums. And they have a drink called soursop. And it looks like a thinned milk, but it has a wonderful flavor. But it's fairly rare to find, but it's very good. We love it when we get it.
Soursop. How would you describe the taste?
It's not as sour as it sounds, but it's got a very unique taste. Not sweet, not sour. It's more on the sour side, but it just has a flavor I can't match it up with anything. I've never tasted anything like it before. So,
well, I'm glad that you're learning about and enjoying life in the Cayman Islands. For those of us wanting to know more about what's going on with the mission there, you mentioned you're trying to move more of your energy and efforts toward reaching the local people rather than those who are more temporary or visiting.
Mm-hmm.
What does a typical week look like for a missionary in the Cayman Islands? What is a typical week? What does a Sunday look like?
Well, let's start with Monday morning. Monday morning for me, I usually go out to the prison and I spend the morning out there leading a Bible study, which is supposed to last an hour, but usually ends up about 2.5 hours because the men really enjoy dialoguing about the Bible and so forth. And I enjoy the interaction with them. And so that takes up most of Monday morning. Then I'm kind of regimented in this. Monday afternoon, I go and I look at what are the upcoming lessons for the following Sunday. So I start turning those over in my mind, maybe start developing a little mental checklist of things perhaps I want to do for the sermon. I generally take Tuesdays as my day off, and then Wednesday, sermon, bulletin, getting ready for Wednesday evening Bible class or services, depending on the time of the year. Thursday, finish up with that, and then start looking at going down to the open air farmers market or one of the other places where I can find people congregating and visiting with them and ministry opportunities of that nature around, mainly around Georgetown and West Bay.
Now, what does a Lutheran missionary wear what's the climate like there?
It's a tropical climate.
Yeah.
Right now, the lows are around 82. The highs are around 94. Heat index of around 116. But when you're out doing missionary work there, and I've tried various things. The thing that connects the most is to wear a clerical, but not a black clerical.
I was going to say, how can you wear a black clerical in a tropical climate? That's going to be a little hot.
You can, but the deal is, I found that if I wear a blue one, they instantly identify me as a minister. But they know that I'm not the Roman Catholic priest or the Episcopalian. And so they'll ask me, they say, what church are you with? And I'll say, well, I'm a Lutheran. And they'll say, what is a Lutheran? And off we go. Mm-hmm. Beautiful entry into a chance to dialogue with them and explain more. So I found that in that particular setting, wearing a blue clerical is an opening for an evangelism opportunity.
How many colors did you have to go through before you figured that out?
Actually, that was my first, other than black.
Oh, okay.
So, because I specifically said, okay, don't want this or that. Blue is something nobody else is wearing. Let's try that.
So you just hang out in, go and visit, you said, in places where people are congregating, the open-air farmer's market and places like that, just for a chance to meet people, to connect with people,
right,
and talk.
Yeah, another place is up at Kamana Bay. You can run into your visa'd expatriate workers up there a lot. So it depends where you're wanting mm-hmm. to focus that day as to where you go. And it's taken some time to learn that. I'm still looking for some others so that I can contact other people in different ways. So.
Now, is this the only congregation on the island or in the area? What's the closest neighboring congregation or someone to fill in for you if you need someone to preach for you?
Wow, that's a good... it would probably be from Kingston, Jamaica would be the next closest congregation.
Now, if you need a Sunday off, I'm sure you just put a message out on Facebook and ask what preachers would like to come to the Cayman Islands to preach for you, right?
I've had a lot of offers. Even had one this morning. So, yeah, it is. It's a beautiful place, and to come and visit and so forth. There are some adjustments as you have to make anywhere. You mentioned driving on the other side of the road.
Sure.
You've got to be prepared to handle the heat mm-hmm. and got to be smart about just exposure to heat, drinking lots of fluids and watching the sunburns. So, yeah.
Yeah. You don't look too tan today. So you seem pretty cautious about that.
I actually am very careful about the sun because I've had in my life some exposure to the sun that resulted in a few instances of skin cancer. So, mm-hmm. If I go out, I put on a pretty good coat of sunblock because it only takes a few minutes down there.
Sure. Yeah. The closer you are to the equator, the closer you are to the sun, the faster you burn.
The dermatologists do a good business down there.
I'm certain. So. Yeah. Well, I have enjoyed our conversation, learning about how the Lord is using you to bring that good news of Jesus to the people in the Cayman Islands. And we can certainly learn more about you on lcms.org and the work that you're doing there. Is that a good place to find out more about the mission there?
We also have a website that if you go and search for Safe Harbor Lutheran Church in the Cayman Islands, you can find us there. And I also I have a Facebook, so if people want to track me on Facebook, they can get in touch with me that way also.
And if traveling, anybody taking a cruise or visiting the Cayman Islands, what time are services on Sunday?
10 o'clock Sunday morning at the South Sound Community Center. And we start on island time, which means we should start at 10, but we're probably going to start closer to 10:15. So
good to know. Well, thank you so much for being my guest today and sharing about the Lord's work in the Cayman Islands.
Well, thank you. My pleasure to be here with you.